Now, here's the key. If you come up and you don't get free today, so what? You just keep breaking through till you do. And that's not just for people with this. You know, my son, it took 15 years to see him healed. If I had given up after the fifth or sixth or seventh or even eighth altar call, if I had given up after the 10th year of going to churches and to altar calls and listening to tapes, I believe he'd be dead right now or severely, very ill, very sickly, very much have what the doctors had said he would have, which would be pretty much blind, kidney problems, stomach problems, diabetes, I mean, and very short. So thank God I didn't listen to the devil trying to cause me to be discouraged. But the reason it was easier for me to keep running after it was because I kept believing God in his word, and I stayed believing God in his word and not my experience. I did not allow the enemy to dishearten me. That's the difference. Don and I were talking today about, you know, most people probably wouldn't want to be our family. And I mean, just in our family, let's see, Terry's son is deaf in one ear, and then her husband has some major issues with gender issues that would have made most people divorce. And then, of course, my daughter died. Then my son was sick for 15-plus years. Not much plus. Let's just say 15 years over now. Show. Maybe less than that. Then my house was broken into just recently. What else? Let me think. Oh, Drew. And Drew was supposed to die when he was born, was in hospital for almost a year. And then fighting mental retardation, which we're believing God's going to. It started with that, and we're believing there's coming a great big breakthrough, and he's going to be completely healed. And finally, this family will come together, bursting into the promised land. Yeah. We've seen, you know, our parents divorced, our mother, a stepmother going through cancer, my brother and his wife going through a divorce, one of them divorced, then had some issues with his daughter, and Donna had a few issues with her daughter at one point. That's not at all. I'm thinking, I know there was more. This is just, you know, and, you know, that was just like, what, 20 years of history, if that, you know. So it's like, but we're not disheartened. It's like when you're not disheartened, you don't get discouraged. Now, I'm sure Satan would like to have disheartened us with some of these things. But why was he not able to dishearten us? Because we found out how awesome God was. And we tasted and we saw that he was real. It's so important to have something so real with God. Because then his grace is sufficient. And then his power sets you free. And then you can't explain it, but when you overcome, you become more like Christ. So Satan does not want you to overcome. He'd rather do anything but cause you to overcome. And so if he's disheartened you, you need to get rid of the dis and get your heart back. When we were doing the inner healing at the beach the other day on this, the Holy Spirit showed me Karen when this tried to happen to her. And I saw the Lord draw a heart on a chalkboard. He'd do a big picture of a heart. He put heart on a chalkboard. I think he drew a heart around it. But he put a big word disc by it, which basically X'd out the heart. And I saw the Lord come along beside Karen in this vision and take and erased the disc. And actually, I don't think there was an X. He just erased the disc. And he just pulled her to him and said, "Don't push me away. Don't be disheartened because of what happened to you. But instead, come into my heart. And let me come into your heart. And let me bring life to your heart. And let me heal the hurt that happened that caused you to lose courage, that caused you to walk away, that caused you to feel wretched and like something was wrong with you. Let me destroy that." And you really seem like you bounce back there. Whoa! So, yay! Because it was really heavy on her. And the Lord broke it. And so we actually have chalk in the building. Go get it. Right. That's exactly what we're talking about. When you were abused or something happened and a parent says, just forget about it, that's exactly what Absalom did. That's not the answer. You need to repent. You need to help your children walk through stuff and not try to shield them from stuff that they already know is going on. Don't dishearten your children. Don't tell someone, just forget about it. Don't tell someone, oh, you won't be able to understand it. I can't help you through it. When you tell someone that, you are telling them to be disheartened. Disconnect from this pain. Disconnect from this attack. Disconnect from this suffering. You'll be okay. I'll take care of it. The truth is you can't take care of it. Only Christ can take care of it. But you can bring that. And let me say this, and I'm not like saying, wow, didn't I do things great? I'm saying, wow, wasn't I desperate enough to hear God? But everything that my kids have walked through, from seeing their sister die in front of them, to being in hospitals, to being told by doctors, you're not going to make it, you may not make it, to having our house robbed, every bit of it, I talk about the truth. I talk about how to forgive. We bring it real. We bring God into it. We separate the demon from the people involved. And I've watched the Lord bring healing and ministry in a real way for every situation. I think, and I'm not going to say any names, I'll just point. I think your entire family was disheartened because instead of dealing with something, you bought into a lie and a counterfeit that was easier than dealing with how horrible everything really was. And I think the being disheartened has brought depression on the family and discouragement, and has caused people to lose their courage to face things and to deal with things, because you need to realize that's what you did. And then you took on a very strong control thing to make it look like you had dealt with things and faced things. And then you put Jesus Christ's name over top of it all and brought a religious spirit in to cause total confusion and hopelessness, because if he can't work and this is what we get, who wants it? And it's cool to watch God setting you all free, because he knew in the heart of hearts, you want God. You want something real. And you were obedient to let God begin to minister and deal with this. But that's where some of your children are still at. What happened in your house was despicable and horrible. And God says the person who did it would have been better to put a millstone around their neck and drown. God says if someone commits adultery, and how much more so if it's with someone, a child in their own home, then you divorce them. There are some exceptions, but not that many exceptions. And we have made it seem, God says, because that is a sin in the body, and God won't tolerate it. Now, I'm not saying there's not forgiveness. There is forgiveness. There is healing. God brings all that together. If there's true repentance, and then you're going to see the fruit of that. And we have just pretended and spiritualized these issues away and caused people to be disheartened in the church. We've caused people to be disheartened in the church. The counterfeit religious spirit and some of the stuff that even goes on in the name of faith is really denial. And that thing is going to blow up one day and cause people to feel inferior, wretched, discouraged, like they have no hope. And then you wonder why we're losing so many people to the church, to the world from the church. The truth is, God, by his Holy Spirit, will have us face things, deal with things, and handle it. And there's so many people in la-la land, but there's no real victory. There's no real power. There's no real authority. And there's very little really lifting up the name of Jesus and being in love with Jesus because of who he is and how he does have grace sufficient to bring people through. And I believe that the fire of God is coming on the church to do away with everything that is counterfeit that the church has grabbed onto to take the place of Christ and his true healing and delivering power. I think the big key word that I see in all this is disheartened. And the word disheartened, once again, means to be numb to cut off feelings from, to be afraid, you know, just it's too painful. Let me tell you, to isolate yourself and never be able to connect with people in true intimacy is almost like being in hell already. And to not be able to know your own God and walk with your own God and be in love with God and enjoy the things God has for you, you're missing what life is about. And it's time to tell the devil he's wrong, he's a liar, and you want to not be disheartened anymore. You want your courage back. I feel like this is something off the Wizard of Oz. You know, we're going to give you your courage and give you, you know, give you your heart and your courage. And let's forget the brain. That's what too many of you have taken on to handle the lack of heart and courage. Yes. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You got to realize that the word heart really represents your life. The life God has for you, the joy, the peace, the excitement, the love, the relationships, the wonder of it all. Who cares about all this money stuff? Who cares about all this fake success and all this junk that we've replaced for this awesome life God has for us? You know what? You would not be afraid of going on the mission field. You would not be afraid of doing anything God wants if you really understand what life is about. Just living for God, enjoying every day, enjoying people, enjoying your life, and letting God take care of the stuff that we now call life. I love my life all the time. I say I love my life right after I just got robbed. Satan can't steal it. If you're not disheartened, Satan can't take a minute from you. You can knock the tar out of him. Whoa, he's already defeated. You're just stepping on somebody who's already lost. Old bubblehead. I used to say, devil, you're just like chewing gum under my shoe. But I'm going to walk on you for so long that one day I won't even feel the stick. I think I got there because I didn't feel the stick this last go round. Before things have happened, I'm stuck there a little bit trying to walk on him. But now it's like, wow. Then you think, man, this doesn't seem normal. Praise God. This seems supernatural. So what we want to do is get rid of once and for all being disheartened. How many want your heart back? How many want your life back? How many really know that in Christ you can face anything that you were afraid to face that caused you to give up your heart? That's all it's about. You chose Satan making you disheartening you instead of facing whatever's attacking you, instead of facing the lies said about you, and even facing the things that Satan put in you. You've chosen to go any other way but there. Ooh, not going there. I'll go over here and be evil and bad and rob houses and do drugs and break the law. I'm not going over there. Or, ooh, I can't go there. I know what? I'll be the best kid this family ever had. I'll be the smartest. I'll go to school. I'll have the best job. I'll have the most money. I'll help the most people. I'll do just everything right. Neither one of those is going into life. Abundant, wonderful, awesome life. So if God gives you money, praise God. Lord, what are we going to do with this? It's about relationships. Heaven's about relationships. Life is about relationships. And the first relationship that you have to have life is Christ. And if Satan can block that relationship from being real, he can hurt every other relationship in your life. And you can substitute it all you want, but you will continue to be disheartened. Does everybody get this? Pretty cool, huh? It's just such, how does he do this?